Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Vax Wars and Chicago Fire Department, a conversation with Captain Scott Tugstedt. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. And I'll tell you, we have a really amazing show tonight. We're going to hear from Captain Scott Tugstedt from the Chicago Fire Department. He is one of these people who has managed to raise up a resistance to this vax mandate in Chicago. And when you're seeing all this hand puppetry going on and this tyranny from that alien, also known as Mayor Lightfoot, I swear she's related to Beetlejuice. But anyway, when you start to see that happening and you're seeing this amazing stand-up with the fire department and the police department, you're meeting the man who I would say probably has a lot to say about that. And he's an amazing soul. The one thing about fire departments to really understand and what's important about this is in the big cities, the fire departments are a real integral part of the culture and its legacies of generations. So what you're witnessing in Chicago right now is a very significant event. But before we go on with that, I need to make a mention of our great backers of this show, MyPillow, which is MyPillow.com. Now, Patriots, I have the coolest announcement to make tonight with MyPillow. And it's going to be on our website, but just so you know, if you go to mypillow.com/Bards, B-A-R-D-S, you're going to arrive at a Bards page on MyPillow. Is that cool or what? mypillow.com/Bards, B-A-R-D-S. MyPillow built us a page on their own website. It's totally cool. You still have to use your promo code. Don't forget it, B-A-R-D-S, Bards. But it is amazing. So I'm super excited. And now we have our own special page for great values and great savings. And, of course, you can find all the great stuff like, you know, my slippers and signs and the book and six-piece pillow sets, towel sets on sale. We have the children's story pillows and just all sorts of amazing stuff. And doggy beds and everything. And remember, your Bards code works all over the entire site, but now we've got a special Bards page. MyPillow.com/Bards is that special page for the special people on the BDAD or the Bards Nation, which is so awesome. And of course, we love MyPillow because not only is it a great company, but it's led by one of the great patriot and CEOs of our time, probably our history of our country, Mike Lindell. Who can't love that guy who's a Christian, who fights for everything that we believe in, for liberty, for election integrity, spends tens of millions of dollars of his own money just for the sake of preserving this nation. And so we're going to be committed to keeping his company on the top of the list of great success stories because we absolutely have no patience for the deep state trolls. What can we say? So head on over to mypillow.com/Bards, and that link will now be below the podcast, and it'll also be on our website. And that we're going to put up a MyPillow page on the website here very quickly, like we have a coffee page. And then use your promo code and enjoy amazing savings. What a great time to buy stuff for Christmas, and it really is. And just I'm just really honored that they did this. It says a lot for all of our support for them. Also, Expedition Coffee, X-P-E-D, expeditioncoffee.com, which is our branded coffee. And of course, you know me, I'm not going to brand a coffee that's just any old coffee. This is an amazing coffee with gives you great clarity throughout the entire day. I drink one cup a day. That's all I need. One cup keeps me clear, focused all through the day. It's got that good caffeine boost, and then it gives you all those other things to just keep your mental clarity focused throughout the day, not that caffeine burnout. Plus, it's great for your gut. It's great for your health. It's all about immune boosting. And when you go to expeditioncoffee.com, Expedition, X-P-E-D, expeditioncoffee.com, you're also going to find the gut health triad, which is products designed specifically to heal and seal your gut, because leaky gut is such a major part of how this COVID SARS nonsense is affecting us. And get in there, making your body healthier by sealing and healing your gut. You're going to be able to have a stronger immune system and put up with this nonsense that they keep trying to do to us. Plus, it's just a better living in life. We're going to get more out of everything that we eat, more out of our health, the whole thing. So head on over to expeditioncoffee.com, X-P-E-D, expeditioncoffee.com. You can also get there by going to bardsfm.com/coffee. There's a great logo over there. I like that logo. Why do I like that logo? Because our graphic designer built that logo. And that's what's on the coffee, which makes it very cool. And check out that coffee. Everybody that tasted it at Bard's Fest loves the coffee. And I've been using it now for every day, three and a half months. And I love it. I think it's the best product out there. Really good for you. And it's the type of product that we need in this sort of environment where we're trying to sustain our own health and stay away from these tyrannical medical death camps. So again, expeditioncoffee.com. Check it out. All right. So I want to just give a little context before I start tonight. I have an amazing and deep respect for the fire departments in our nation. And I would say that that respect was elevated immensely when I had an opportunity in 2013 and 2014, and I think as far as 2015, to do some work with the New York City Fire Department, otherwise known as FDNY. The one thing that's really amazing when you work with the big city fire departments, as opposed to some of the smaller town fire departments or the West Coast fire departments, but when you're back into the big cities like New York or Chicago, these fire departments have legacy. And it's not just the legacy of their own histories, it's the legacy of families. Many of these fire departments, it's common to have stories told that people are in the fire department because it's been a family tradition. So you'll hear from somebody whose father and grandfather and great-grandfather were in the fire department, and it's part of the traditions of the family. That type of service is very uncommon in any other industry. But when you get to fire and police, for that matter, in the big cities, it's very common for them to be part of that department and that brotherhood generation after generation. What makes you firemen so unique is they are fighting some of the most dangerous challenges to our lifestyles. Obviously, saving people, saving lives, saving buildings. And they're doing it purely with the skills that they have to defeat one of nature's most aggressive elements, which is flame, fire itself, right? And they put their life on the line. Now, I had the opportunity when I was doing work with FDNY to go through an evening of their own training. It was a couple days we worked in and out of some of their training, but one particular exercise was an eye-opener. And it was when they had us go in full gear, oxygen tanks, like they would do, part of their training that they do, and we went into a burning building. And let me tell you, you gain so much respect for what they actually go through, because this is where you have smoke raging, you lose orientation, and you literally have no idea where you are in these moments. It's just a tiny glimpse into the risks and challenges that the fire department goes through every single time they go out on a call. When we get into the big city fire departments and we start talking about people willing to sacrifice their jobs for something like this stupid, ridiculous, tyrannical mandate for injections, you're talking about breaking a legacy of generations for many of these guys. That type of stance is massive in itself. But here's the other part about fire departments in the big cities. Many of them are situated in towns or in communities that have been there for years. So, which you're going to hear tonight, as is the case with Captain Scott Drukstadt from Chicago Fire Department, what you're going to hear tonight is how his firehouse was in this community since, I believe he said, 1901 or 1902. That's the same firehouse that he's part of. That legacy in the community is huge. And these guys are standing up saying, hey, if you're going to let us go, then let us go, but we're not taking the injection. Now, that's the sort of stance that we need to be seeing more and more. And obviously, this is an amazing time to see the people come together. And so I'm hoping this interview inspires you. I hope it gives you a deep respect for who these guys are. And I hope that when we leave this, we're hearing from Captain Scott Trukstad, but he's also has now a connection with the men in blue, the Brotherhood of the Police, and they're all standing together. And this is the same type of legacy. And of all the cities of to have this happen, I would not have expected Chicago, but hat tip to all of these men. And it's an amazing time and it's an amazing stance. And it's something we all need to get behind and support as much as we can. So without any further ado for me, let me introduce you to Captain Scott Trukstad. Well, Patriots, I'll tell you, I'm really excited today because we have a leader in this movement who is from Chicago. His name is Captain Scott Trukstad. He is from Engine 99 in Little Village. He has been a voice of reason and is bringing a great story today about what's going on in Chicago and how they have all kind of come together to understand that what we're facing with this mandatory injection is fundamentally against every single thing we stand for in this nation. And as happened so many times in our nation, it is our great heroes of the firemen that stand up. And I'm going to tell you honestly, having worked with FDNY, and never had a chance though to work with Chicago Fire Department, I'm just going to tell you, in the big cities, the firehouses and the firemen are probably some of the most patriotic and fundamentally American people in our nation. And I'm just really proud to have a great fireman on the show today. So Scott, welcome to the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and just really happy to have you today.
Hey Scott, thank you for having me. I'm a huge Bards fan. And it's really cool talking to you. A little bit about myself. Yeah, I'm a Chicago fire captain. 22 years on the job. I currently work in Little Village area. It's a Hispanic area, kind of southwest side, whatever. And yeah, we're in the middle of a pretty significant battle, you know. So got a lot of guys putting a lot of things on the line for the right purposes, and you know, it feels at this moment like well, it's a staring contest, obviously, but I feel that we got enough strength to take care of our position. So,
well, let's talk a little bit about what you're facing, because this is a pretty incredible moment where you're literally having served your city for 22 years. It's obviously a voluntary service, and it's a service that's put your life on the line many times. And just from what you and I have talked about, just by virtue of what you do. And now suddenly you're in a place where they're kind of giving you, not kind of, they're giving you no choice, but comply or leave. Is that fair enough?
Oh, absolutely. And I can tell you this, that as much as this is a philosophic break, this is a line that I would never, ever, ever allow to be crossed. And there's a battle right now about submitting your information to this portal. And that's what all this is about. And I believe that that's a free will thing. I really do. But what, you know, what our position's been from the beginning is there's absolutely no way that we're going to take mandatory inoculations, boosters, anything else. You know, we got guys that took the shot early on, and they know that there's boosters coming down the line, you know, so they don't want to be signed up for a mandate that openly says that, you know, fully vaccinated means at this time, but that could change, you know. So yeah, it's there's a lot of guys that have a very strong sense of injustice of what's going on right now. I think that's the biggest thing. I think you've got guys that are obviously concerned about the medical aspect of it. There's guys that have seen people have bad reactions, know people, family members that have had bad reactions. Some that have died. But beyond that, it's like what you touched on, 22. 25, 29, 39, 5 years on this job, whatever position you happen to be in, you have already committed yourself to doing whatever necessary to save whatever lives you possibly can. And for, I'm not going to call them leadership, for administrators to put us in this position, to put our backs against the wall. Everything that you've done up until this point doesn't matter anymore. It's basically comply or die. And, you know, that's what it turns into, as we know, that's what it always turns into. But we're not going to let it happen. So hell or high water, we're holding the line.
So we've been seeing, obviously, in the news, Chicago's popping back up, and some sort of a psychopathic approach to this. And if you can't see the leverage that they're trying to use for something that's unjust, I read today that they're now threatening to take away the pensions of police officers. Is this movement, I don't even know if you want to call it a movement, but this resistance to this would be a better term. Is that just limited to firemen or is it police? I mean, what are we talking about in terms of a kind of a concept of how many people are involved?
Well, it's significant. And a little, you know, story is the history of this thing. John Cannizzara is the FOP Lodge 7 president. John Cannizzara has been extremely vocal about a lot of things over the years. And as far as I'm concerned, absolutely dead on with this subject. And he has represented his membership incredibly during this entire extremely stressful, tumultuous time. I can't say the same for our local, but they've done a tremendous amount of leadership. So city published some numbers yesterday, and what we were looking at was around, I want to say 40, with my Chicago Public School math, let me try this out, 4,200 or so police and 1,400 Chicago firefighters and paramedics, especially paramedics, that's important. And yeah, so I would say a pretty significant number. We're looking at, you know, close to 6,000 people, 6,000 of what should be considered the most critical people to have that you're paying taxes for. You know, you can survive a little bit without your garbage being picked up or, you know, some your streets filled up and all that kind of stuff. But there's going to be people, there's going to be lives put on the line here that there's going to have to be a lot of answers given for. You know, they're going to wind up taking ambulances out of service. They're going to wind up closing fire companies. They're going to wind up doing a whole bunch of stuff that they've got no business doing. And in the end, it's going to cost somebody their lives and the blood will be on their hands.
I'm agreeing with that statement completely.
Sure.
And I say that because you don't even know who's really talking when you listen to these leftists anyway. But the problem is that they're trying to spin this narrative that, like, well, you're harming the innocent. I think what we have to get through here, and I'm hearing what you're saying, is the entire fight now is touching everybody. And if we don't take a stand together, which obviously with those numbers, you guys are unified. That's fantastic. This thing is going to continue to spin out of control. There has to be some hard lines drawn and people have to stand with you.
We know the importance of, you know, and all it is it's a resistance. It's a group of guys that have come together and said, no, we are not allowing this to happen, not only for ourselves, but for the rest of the membership, for the future membership, for our children, for humanity, for everything. You know, we are, I remember there was a show a while back, a few shows, I'm sure, but you had questioned, where have all the men gone? You know, where are the men taking up this cause and doing what is right? Well, we got 6,000 of us in Chicago and we're ready to rock and roll. So I'm, you know, as far as they want to try to take this, we're just going to continue to do what we do. And I know we'll lose numbers, but for me, I've been all in since day one. There is no other outcome other than to stand up for this at the moment, you know. And I think that there's going to be different levels that people can stomach. We've said that since the beginning. We laid out the reason why this is important. We spoke to the immorality, illegality, you know, every portion of it. And obviously a lot of people I resonated with because they were the folks that have dealt with this for the last 2 years. We've lost now four people. We just lost another brother recently because, you know, he was administered to the hospital and yada, 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 what happens after that. You know, it's our contention that none of those guys had to lose their lives. We've seen countless suffering out in the street. And, you know, I'm not going to tap dance around the fact that there are known protocols working out there. So as far as I'm concerned, they've all got blood on their hands. You know, the guys that we've lost, the guys that have gotten sick, sick, sick. Guys that have their family sick, 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 hospitalized. You know, if you could have been on treatment early on to keep this from, you know, getting back to your home and everything, yeah, we should have been doing it. But, you know, it's just, it, the whole thing has become intolerable to the point where, you know, I know that, you know, everyone doesn't share my same sense of, I don't know, it, just disgust by the entire situation. But everybody knows what it means. Everybody knows the point at which we're standing. Everybody knows that if we don't do this now, their kids will take every shot that comes down the pipe. And we've had it. And you can see it going on around the country. And that's why I'm so excited about it. I mean, I really hope that our numbers stay solid, because if people look around them and see what's happening, they know that this is the moment. This is the moment where we change everything.
Well, I think it's incredibly powerful, the fact it's the firemen aligned with police, and this is a individual choice. As you said, it's just a resistance. I think that's the greatest way to frame it. What I want to go into a little bit here, though, is this is something that, until people have been around it, and my exposure was through FDNY, but you and I talked the other day, and it's very endemic to the way the fireman's culture is, the police culture is in the old big cities. And Chicago, my goodness, we're talking about fire departments. I mean, the history and legacy you guys have is immense through history. So tell us a little bit about that brotherhood, because you yourself live in a firehouse. I think you said it was built in 1902 or something like that.
Oh, 04. Hopefully that number is right, or my guys will slap me around. But I believe it's 01 or 04. Tony, tell me. Certainly. I'd love to speak to that. As I'm sure you know, Chicago was an old shipping town, and it brought in all the immigrants from all around the world, mainly, you know, Germany, Ireland, Italy, a lot of migration from the south, of course, after the sharecropping. So you started building out from the center of the city, right? And you started around the rivers and everything like that, and all the shipping canals they started building. And you would have, you know, of course, skilled laborers, tradesmen that came over, and they would start doing jobs and building things. And then you had unskilled, you know, and a large portion of that were the European immigrants that would wind up becoming either fire police. And, you know, obviously the conditions were really rough back then. I mean, you're talking 1850s, you know, when they started kind of organizing some volunteer type stuff. Chicago Fire was like 150 years ago. It was 1871. And that started off actually where our academy is right now. It's 558 West Coben Street. And that was supposedly where, you know, Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over lantern, and all the hilarity ensued from there, you know. So, moving out from there, you know, the entire city that was assembled at that time, you know, pretty much burned down. I forgot the exact number of people, but it was somewhere around 300 plus something. I don't know. And then, you know, we kind of moved into that restoration period post Civil War, you know. And then, of course, Chicago being a major industrial center, you started just building up the city around there. And as the city built out, the individual firehouses would have to be built within a certain perimeter to get the horse. And, you know, both of my old houses that I were actually all the old houses that I've been assigned to have been horse and buggy houses. So, yeah, we had the horse-drawn pumps in all of those houses at one time. So that's kind of a cool bit of history. But you had to have it within a certain area. So that's why the firehouses were centered around the grids that they are. And as you came up through the years, obviously you had a bunch of kind of roughneck kind of guys, you know, a lot of them were returning vets, you know, they didn't have any other means of work. They came into the fire service. And then, that brotherhood from that kind of group of misfits, you know, I mean, you worked with them, you've been with, you know, the type of person I'm talking about.
Oh, I do.
And
yes,
it's incredible. And this is another reason, and I'm going to get back to how incensed I am right now, is that for 22 years, I've made thousands of friends. We've had the most incredible days, nights, harrowing experiences, funny experiences, everything. And now I got some pocket tyrant trying to take that all away. All right, whatever. go for it. You know, you do your thing. I'll do mine. So let me get back to the culture though. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good, man. I mean, you guys are dealing with this. I mean, this is literally, I mean, we can call it whatever we want to call it, but in another version, it's a five alarm fire or whatever you do. I mean, it's a big deal right before you, because everything that you've talked about is now being put on the line by one little contingency of people, which in collective terms, that's tyranny by definition, or despotism, as our founding fathers would have said it, right?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you know, and I definitely want to throw big kudos to our paramedics too, because honestly, they're one of the largest facets of what we are trying to accomplish here, which is purely to just continue to do our job and uphold the oath that we've taken, a couple of different ones, by the way, right? To save lives, right? That's a big one, save lives and property, and to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So, you know, I might not be a history scholar, but I know what that looks like, you know? So.
That's really great. This is really amazing, and to hear the unified effort too. I mean, you're getting, like I said, it's crossing the line into the blue, which is great. And it's really making a bold statement. I know for the nation, it's unavoidable. This is one of these things that the media can try to turn its head away from, but it's not going to happen. Now I'm curious a little bit, and you guys are connected. One thing about firehouses that is always really powerful is that even more than police, you're really connected to the community. It's, I would say, even more so than the beat cop, because you have that relationship. Like we were talking the other night, who doesn't want to bring cookies to the firehouse and see the firehouse,
yeah,
right? So what's the sentiment happening in Chicago? Now, we have, obviously, our perception of Chicago, and I'm just going to say this, not living there, but this is my quick perception of Chicago, that it is a violent place in complete turmoil, almost anarchy, based on what the media is always throwing in our face, and which is atrocious, the number of murders that are happening there from, you know, gang on gang type violence or random,
right,
as a result. But there is a sentiment that you're going to be feeling about this and within the community. What is that sort of response you're getting?
You know, on a lot of different levels, right? Obviously, you have all the families that are being touched by this, you know, and there is certainly that sense of outrage within the community. You have a lot of folks that I think are just kind of oblivious, but I love and I absolutely want to applaud the work of John Cannizzara in getting this message out. The unification with what the CPD is doing has been absolutely amazing, and I want to applaud them. But anyway, within the community, you know, it's hard to gauge what's going on in our community right now because there's a language barrier, right? I mean, we haven't had a discussion with any of our neighbors about the situation. But I would imagine that as you move throughout the city and as this story starts to become more and more of a thing, I'm pretty sure that we got the public on our side. I mean, you know, the media is going to spin it how they're going to spin it. And that's just what they do. I mean, if you look at the media these days as anything other than hostile psychological warfare operation, you're not paying attention. You know, that's it. But, you know, we exactly all we're going to do, we're going to continue to go to work until they tell us that we can't go to work anymore. And then we're going to try to fight that in every way possible. And I know that a extremely large number will not under any circumstances take this shot. So
that's powerful. And this is, again, like you said, the media continues their spin of lies, which we know. And then we have this constant distortion of numbers. Right. They love to say, well, like, there's 70% of the people injected, but there's not.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just constantly pushing this. The most draconian part of this piece, which you touched on, and I want to go back to it a little bit. You mentioned the portal that you're entering your information. This is really the beginning of a true Orwellian state. Talk a little bit about that data entry and what they're demanding.
Speaking to that, I'm going to leave that out right now. That's something that all I can say is they want you to log on to a website and submit information, you know, that we consider to be private. And outside of that, I haven't even visited the the email that would suggest I do that, you know? So I couldn't tell you even what it looks like.
No, that's fair enough. And that's understandable. But again, what you're seeing here is this overreach.
Oh, yeah.
From the state trying to get into your personal and even, I mean, from the standpoint, and we can all see this is the whole principle of a COVID pass. They've taken this concept of HIPAA, they've just flushed it down the toilet, and it's right? And you literally have to be able to say, well, I am or I'm not. The thing is, I just watched an interesting perspective on, well, it's a great piece, actually, a short piece on what the COVID pass really is. I mean, when you start to look at this is all, we're already seeing it in New York, is the exclusion. We don't serve unvaccinated.
Right on.
You can't access this if you're not unvaccinated. Tell me, in Chicago, are you seeing any of that happening right now? I mean, are you seeing restaurants that are doing what New York's doing or that sort of thing?
You know, it's going to depend where you go, of course. You know, the mindset that goes with all these, the obedience signaling mindset. We have, I know for sure that the Metro, a very, legendary music venue in Chicago, one I've been to hundreds of times. They have recently had a vax. Most of them, they're doing the vaxxer test. So obviously they're trying to harass you into just taking the shot. You know, it's like the 700 days of needling, you know, that we're getting. But, there's, you know, to be completely honest with you, other than the area, like I don't go downtown anymore. I got no interest in going downtown. That's completely, you know, it's ever since the riots last year, is a bunch of stuff that hasn't been rebuilt. And a lot of people stay out. It has gotten very violent. You know, that goes back to that part earlier. But I don't want to get too far off track. Where were we going with that? I'm sorry.
No, I don't think it is, because what I'm trying to do a little bit here with your discussion.
Oh, the pass.
Right.
Yeah. I kind of finished that up. Sorry. That's to the best of my knowledge, I haven't gone to any local restaurants that have asked me anything. But anyway, we know where it goes, you know, because this will be handled at the corporate level. And since it's all big box stores that survived the pandemic, right, because everyone else was regulated out of business. Now we're sitting here with full compliance on the corporate end.
What I would like to get a little bit of a picture of from you as a Chicago native and someone who's been in the fire department for as many years as you have. I know people love Chicago, and I've been in Chicago a little bit, not much, but there is a lot of violence in the city, but is that a fair generalization, or is that more in sense of boroughs or areas where, in localized areas? And tell us a little bit about Chicago. What's the character of it? That's kind of it, you know?
Yeah. Awesome. That's a great subject. Number one, I loved growing up here. You know, I used to live on the west side, which is kind of a rougher neighborhood. And then I moved up to an area called Albany Park. It was set up, you know, like I said, early on, the immigrant communities just, you know, found it together in their area, you know, their little tribal areas. And from there, you had the parishes, the different churches. So, like, I grew up by St. Cyril's, or I went to St. Ed's, or something like that. And, it was a very, you know, they always called it the small town feel of a big city or something like that. And it's true, because the neighborhoods are very unique to themselves. But they, you know, everyone kind of knows each other, you know, and the north side, south side thing, that's kind of funny. But it's cool in that respect. I love growing up here. But, you know, what's happened over the years is it has in every, socialist paradise, you've gotten a bunch of empty promises, and you've got a bunch of urban decay in such a nefarious way. You know, that's the thing that bothers me about it. You got so many people who are well-wishers, and they want nothing but the best for some of these kids that never had a chance, you know, being born into this just hellhole. But all they've done is, you know, voted their way further into it, you know, and it sickens me to see it firsthand, the violence that takes place. Yeah, of course, you've got your areas that are, you know, real rough. A large chunk of the city is real rough, but now you have it spilling out pretty much everywhere. You got carjackings everywhere. We had another police officer shot in the face yesterday in Lincoln, basically Lincoln Park, which is like a yuppie neighborhood, you know. It's bad, you know, and that's one of the reasons that the police have just stuck up their middle finger, and I couldn't applaud them louder, you know.
Well, I think that's fair. I mean, the liberals are always fine taking everything away until they start losing it themselves, right? I mean, it's just the bottom line. Well, in this fight going ahead, have you set up within yourselves? I mean, obviously, this can be a tough time. We're heading into winter. We're seeing a rise in inflation. We're seeing a shortages on the shelves, which we know the cities are going to be the primary target of this manipulation game. That's going to be it. So, within the brotherhood of firemen and police, do you continue to support each other as you can to make sure each other, whether you're working or not, is that cohesion still holding together?
Absolutely. You know, we got a lot of folks that were, you know, last week we had a couple of union meetings. They were huge. You know, one day we had 450 people in this like warehouse, and really giving it to the executive board like they deserved. We passed some motions that needed to be passed concerning our legal fights. And yeah, well, you know, everything's hitting the fan right now. I'm getting, my phone is actually blowing up. Guys down in chief school are getting picked off one by one, and they're walking out, you know, doing everything that they need to do, crossing the I's, dotting the T's, or vice versa. And we're going to continue to support each other. Anybody that's out there, you know, we're going to be hooking up for dinner. We're going to be getting together, supporting each other. You know, a big part of this thing has been supporting each other mental health-wise, you know, and like getting our families together, getting our wives together, because everyone's scared. Everyone's really scared. There's so much uncertainty in the world, you know, but then you throw a big heap and help into this on it, you know. And yeah, I think that everybody, the sense of brotherhood amongst the guys that are really willing to go all the way with this, their resolve is unshakable. You know, we know that we went on this walk together. We know that it can be real dicey. I mean, we might all lose our careers over this. I don't know, you know, but we know that we got each other's backs. And, you know, I've related it a couple times to like being in a Mayday situation. You know, all of a sudden you're crawling through a place with your guys and you fall through the floor. And now all of a sudden it's burning and it's down there and it's dark and, you know, you're calling the Mayday and everyone's trying to get you stuff. And it's like, you're down there by yourself, or so it feels. But the cavalry's coming, you know, and that's what I feel like is happening right now. And not just amongst the people moving in this country in this way, but, you know, is God moving through his people. And that's when if I say the cavalry's coming, that's exactly what I mean, because people are their spirits are awakening to the spirit of God. And I think that it's an amazing walk. So I'm excited.
No, it's great. I love that example you gave. And as I shared with you, I had the opportunity when I was doing some work with FDNY to go through just a little piece of their training, which was the dealing with the smoke and orientation and going into a burning building. Let's talk a little bit about that, because that's a crazy experience when you're in smoke and your comms don't work because the radios get all staticky with the soot that's in the air. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has a thermal camera, and about the only lifeline you have is that hose. Is that fair enough? I mean, talk a little bit about that experience, because that's a completely disorienting and potentially vertigo experience. And then you add to the fact like the Mayday you talked about.
Yeah. Well, no, you couldn't be more right on. And as far as I'm concerned, it's the most harrowing type experiences that we face. You know, when we get into a place, you know, if it's rocking in there and you pop a door, you still usually have a little bit of sight line at the bottom of the smoke, you know, especially when you open the door, because now you got fresh air feeding it that way. So you have a little bit of a line of sight. So if you get down low, you can kind of see stuff. The huge part of it, and I'm going to throw a bone to my candidate, David Vaux, it all starts with size up. You know, you got to know your building. You got to know what you're going into. You got to know the basic layouts. You got to remain oriented on a wall. That's a big thing. Of course, if you're on an engine, you got the hose line. That's huge. But if you're on a truck, especially if, you know, we hear we got somebody trapped, you're going to get in there before you got a hose line with you. So you're going to get in there, you're going to follow a wall, you're going to do your searches and everything like that, making sure that nobody's taking out windows, you know, before you got water. I've gotten lost before. It sucks. It really sucks. It's scary. You know, I put myself on the floor above a fire by myself because I knew no one had been up there yet, and I ran out of air, you know, And I got myself oriented, got to a window, realized where I was, and then held my breath and went out from whence I came. But no, nah, man, it's, you know, there is nothing that I would rather do. This is, it's been an absolute incredible honor and privilege to be able to serve God in the way that we've been doing it over these years. And I, yeah.
We can feel it.
Yeah.
All right. This is, I, the stories you tell, and I, the respect that I have for firemen is, really hard to put into words.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it's easiest to say, just talk about you all as what a cultural icon you are. What child doesn't want to go to a firehouse? What child doesn't want to touch the fire truck? What child doesn't want to be part of doing something so noble as saving lives? You all I want to say something here, because you said people are scared, and I hope you guys listen to this, and I really mean that. Everybody's feeling that tension, but I'm going to tell you the respect that this community's huge.
Yeah.
And we're walking with God, and we've got Christ in our heart, and our prayers are going to be with you always, but this is really the path of Exodus. You know, we have to take these stands, and we're going into an unknown, but we're together. I think that's the biggest thing. So all that's I say true. To that is it's a noble and heroic thing that's going on here. And that goes, that extends to the men in blue that are with you. I just want that said. There's a lot of selfless service being given to Chicago and across that, in that sense, across this entire nation by all of you in these areas of work. And it's a necessary thing to see you all stand up as you are, because these are the leaders that we need. And you said it earlier, where are the men? Well, guess what? We just found 6,000.
Oof,
that's an amazing statement.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I couldn't be more thrilled to be a part of it. It's been an incredible walk, and you know, going back to, do you mind if I talk about my spiritual journey through all this?
Oh, please, please, this is awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, growing up Catholic, I went to St. Edward's High School, St. Francis, when I was on the West Side, and I grew up Catholic, and you know, of course, with the various problems within the Catholic Church, I was kind of set off at a fairly early age. And it took a while, but I would say, you know, after I had kids and got a little bit older, a little bit wiser, my return to spirituality, you know, kind of almost begrudgingly took place, you know. And I can say within the past several years, actually, and I'll credit it to, you know who Jordan Peterson is?
Yes.
Okay, so I actually watched a few of Jordan Peterson's biblical, like the psychological significance of biblical stories, and I was really intrigued, you know, and it kind of brought me back to the Bible. And, you know, if you've been away from the Bible, and I didn't read the Bible when I was in grade school, you know what I mean? It was read, you know, the passages were read, and it was read in a monotone voice that generally didn't appeal to me, but, you know, I never really paid attention. And to understand, you know, just the cogent, you know, just once you get it, you can't unget it, you know, it's just an amazing thing. And throughout this entire portion of the journey, especially in the last couple months, it's funny because there were a lot of things that align themselves, you know. You would say the stars, I would say God moved certain people towards each other, and different scenarios that aligned themselves that brought a lot of us together, and the right people together. You know, we have an amazing group of talented individuals working, you know, within the mechanism of this thing. And I've been praying on it every day, you know, not for anything other than strength and patience and, you know, just cognitive ability and the ability to relay thoughts and, you know, continue to, you know, you have to believe that what you're doing is right. And if you believe that what you're doing is right, everything else is pretty easy, you know. And I think that's what the things to where, you know, not only does our position as kind of essential employees come into play, but the fact that we are all of strong moral fiber and no army built against us will stand. and I believe that with my heart of hearts. And every day I ask for something, you know, not tangible, but something like strength or something, reveal a path to me. God, how am I supposed to act in this moment? What do you need from me? What gifts and talents that I can offer shall I use, you know? And every single time, that path lit itself up and a new person came into the scene, or, you know, a new kind of thought direction, way to relay it. You know, our union meeting was an incredible showing of support and outright anger against what our local was doing, you know? So it's been quite an incredible fight, And for every day to get the strength that I need from God and honestly have zero fear. I mean, of course there's anxiety. Of course there's uncertainty. I got a kid in college, you know, I got a daughter in private school. You know, it's, we're going to lose our insurance if I stay out longer than 30 days, you know? So there's a lot of fear and uncertainty, but every single, and I should say fear, there's a lot of uncertainty, but every day I pray for strength. Every day I pray for enlightenment and for others to just finally just wake up. Please just shine your light, you know, and not even to the situation, just to God, you know, just to the idea of sacrificing, you know, as Christ, something so much greater than yourself and trying to walk as imperfectly as you possibly can, you know, in this path of trying to live that type of life. And again, if I don't care if it's one person doing it, that's, you know, that's what it has to be, because that's what's right. But it's not one, it's just millions. And that's why I believe that we are on the verge of something absolutely incredible. And I don't share any dates, you know, like you had echoed the other day. You know, this thing I think is going to be a long process, but I do believe that we're on the brink of something very large as far as a spiritual awakening. I hope so.
I think you're right. I think it's showing with you the types of things that you're part of right now. I mean, this is greater than us, and I think that's the key word there is, you know, if we talk of liberty, I mean, what did God give us? You know, liberty. That was part of this country. And that's why they hate that so much. Because when you say liberty, it's not freedom. Liberty is greater. It's what's God-given. It's a God-given right. And no one can take that away from us unless we give it away. And that's what I love so much about what you all are representing in a group of people that represent a long and noble tradition of serving their communities. A selfless service to your city and to your local communities. And you've had to draw a line, which is the line for the right path, which is liberty in God. And with that, the communities have to come with you, or they at least have to face the truth. And that's really the only way we can wake this up.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, they're going to have to. I think that we're moving in this direction because everyone has to feel the pain of having not cared for so long, you know, this is what had to be. I mean, this is a biblical story, what's happening right now, you know, it's amazing to watch it unfold, to be quite honest. But, yeah, it's, everyone had to feel it. Everyone will feel it, you know, as the supply line problems continue to grow and the, you know, the heat, coal, heating oil, all the gas and propane type of stuff. Yeah, man. It had to get to this point. And I wish it didn't, but I think that it had to. And now, you know, it's another one of the things that I'm kind of constantly asking for discernment. I can kind of start to, you know, envision these different paths that we're taking. And obviously the county by county thing, I think, is on point. You know, it's the way that we have to go. We have to start in the home. We have to start within ourselves, right? And that's where God works. And then we spread that out from ourselves to the community. And, you know, I love the fact of, you know, having a bunch of guys getting together on a Sunday, talking some serious talk, you know, not a bunch of, you know, happy cakes and all this other kind of stuff, some serious talk. And, you know, and then having a barbecue and talking about, hey, where are we doing this week? Who's, you know, whose house are we going to be running electric through? You know, all that kind of stuff. And that's absolutely what we need to get back to, you know. And then the county sheriff is there, right? And that's, yeah, I think the county by county platform is absolutely the way that I intend on adding anything. Well, not adding anything. It's just the way, it's a mode of living, really, is how that works. But the involvement level, you know, I think absolutely that's the proper way to go. And I think that, like, our group, we're going to, I don't know how things are going to work out in the short term on the Chicago Fire Department, but I know this, that you got one heck of a contingent of what are pretty much now hardened activists, you know, that will be going to school board meetings, that will be doing all these other different things that need to be done, you know. And with those types of numbers and those type of people, I think there's a lot of other people that will have the strength to do the same thing. You know, people have had it. It's time to, you know, it's long past time, actually, but, you know, they've had it now. And hopefully this is when we start seeing that that slow turning back of the iceberg, you know.
Well, you know, it's interesting because historically, when we go back to our revolution, the original, when the awakening began with 1765, when they started to impose the Townshend Acts, which was a little bit later, but the taxes that ultimately became known as the Townshend Acts about 1768, 1769. But what was interesting is that the real drivers in the early part of that were two. They were the church and the pastors who were speaking boldly from the pulpit, and they were the women. But when that tipping point finally hit, the men stood up. And I think what we're seeing here, and why I think this is such an important event with what all you represent, is, as you said, where are the men? Well, there's 6,000 of them, and now you're standing up. And that's what our households needs. It's what this country needs.
Amen.
It's what God calls upon us, is at a certain point, the men must lead the house. And we're seeing that. And so huge compliments to all that you're doing and all that you're part of, Scott. I mean, really, it really is a great thing. And I know the paths ahead are going to be, there's a lot of unknowns. But what I know from my own path is, as long as we're following and we have Christ in our heart, and we're following that path with God, as difficult as it can be, He's going to guide us through. And like you said, when we pray on it each day and ask Him to guide us, He does. That's the beautiful part, right?
It's amazing. You can't experience it if you don't allow yourself to experience it, you know. And you certainly can't explain it, but when you're honest, you know, when your heart is open, when you're not, you know, asking for things, when you're, you know, asking for help, submitting, getting down on your knees, you know, and asking for something that, hey, I ain't got this, please help me. He'll listen, you know, every single time. And, you know, no army formed against us. So
that's very true. Well, I'm going to tell you, we always close with a prayer, and I'd love to do a prayer for you and all your guys.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you so much.
You bet. Well, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this very blessed meeting today. From Scott, to hear the story and his legacy within an amazing history of selfless service to the city, as now a captain who's leading his men. And Lord, what we pray now is that that you help with the discernment, the strength, and the dissolution, dissolving of fear. We understand that in these times of chaotic times, that there's a lot of anxiety and people feel that, and there's concerns for the family and there's concerns for the season and what's ahead of us. But Lord, I just pray that we can all, as a remnant standing together in your name, be together in spirit, in prayer, that we can pray for each other, know that together as we walk this path, that there is nothing to fear, for you're with us, you're guiding us, and to let that strength settle into each and every heart. These men of Chicago, whether they're firemen or policemen now that are taking that stand, who have given their selfless service to the city and are now taking a stand, which is the appropriate stand to walk in your light, are going to awaken many in the communities. And we ask that awakening can build bridges of unity and let them be who they have always been. Those of the protectors of the community are now becoming the leaders of the community to awaken them. Give them strength, give them guidance, and bless them for all that they do. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And it's a pleasure to have you on board today. Seriously.
No, it was awesome, Scott. I'm absolutely honored to be on your show. You've helped me get through some very difficult times, you know, and I honestly, you know, I know I mentioned this the other day, but I have to credit you for my return to living a Christ-like, or attempting to live a Christ-like life, you know, and I thank you greatly for that.
Well, thank you. I'm very humbled, and I just, that credit's all going to go to God. He uses Amen. Me like he's using you, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, that, sir.
That's the beautiful thing. God's using us all, and it's just, and that's, you know, I think that's the thing here, Scott, at the end of this is you're saying it, and we're all on the same path, which is such a different path. Is this is all about raising each other up, right? I mean, and that's, you know, we build our communities. We're each moving together. Each one of us is contributing to the other in unique and fantastic ways. And in the process, we're all, God's children are raising up. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful time.
It is. It feels amazing. It does. Every day I go outside, I just smile, you know, because I'm not tuned into that lower frequency. I know where I'm tuned in, and you can't, you know, yeah, it gets a little dicey at times, but you know where to turn when you need help, you know. It's incredible. And we are blessed. And, yeah, I end every communication with our members with be well and God bless.
Well, thank you. And that's, well, the blessings to you all, prayers for you all. We're going to do prayers for you. We'll put prayers up on our prayer wall. Let's stay in touch because I want to get you back on as this thing evolves. We want to hear about how things are going, and happy to have others on if you want others to speak too. They want it to come on. We're open. That door's open. Okay.
Absolutely. I'm sure I could get the FOP head, John Candazzara. I'm sure he wouldn't mind doing an interview if you want to talk to him.
I'd love to have him on. That'd be great because I just it's so important to hear. You know, I'm just going, and I was going to touch on this earlier, but as we kind of wrap this up. Just the idea that you guys were there in a union meeting, standing up and pushing the union leadership to like this is not going to happen. This is what we're going to vote for. That should inspire people, because it's this sort of action, this the noble action that's being led by God.
Yeah, amen, amen. No, it's been incredible. It was a good night. It was a good night. It was an exhausting night. It was long. There were a lot of, you know, a ton of people talking, ton of great speakers, ton of great points to be made. And, you know, yeah, they took the lumps they should have taken, you know, so.
That's it. Well, Godspeed to all of you. God bless you all. Thank you for coming on. And we will talk very soon, and just keep me posted to what's going on. And I know you've got some challenging days ahead, but
yes, sir.
There's no question. If anybody can hold the line, it's y'all.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Great, great time. Thank you so much for having me. I loved it.
You bet. God bless you. Talk to you soon.
All right. God bless. God, take care.
Well, Patriots, that was Captain Scott Trugstadt, excuse me, of Chicago Fire Department. He is a hero, and we need these right now. We need strong leaders in this fight like this that are taking a risk of something in their entire life, that are standing for everything that is good about America. Selfless service, commitment to saving life, building brotherhood and fellowship, living a Christ-like life, and standing with what is right in liberty. I have to make an admission here, because something, and I saw the comment on the board, and it was kind of an oversight in the way I said that. There are firemen, and then part of firemen are the paramedics, and they're together, but it's important to call out the paramedics. And when I say that, they need to be blessed as well. They are a big part of this stand, and they're taking a bold stand, and they have a different and very critical aspect of their job that they do that's often is more dangerous than what the firemen face. And it's not comparing one to the other, but I just want to make sure we're fair and equal in all this, because there's so many great people involved in this. And I'm very humbled that Captain Trugstadt wanted to be on the show. I have the deepest respect, as I've told you, for the firemen and all of those men in blue that are standing in the same place. Chicago's a rough place for first responders. I think we all know that. And it's become rougher, and it's all due to some really horrific leadership and a willful attempt to try to turn a city into a kill zone. And these people are out there every single day putting their lives on the line for a salary that in the end of the day isn't going to replace life. And there they are now being put on the line again to say, you know, forcefully comply to our tyranny or leave. And they're like, okay, I'll leave then. I don't know if you saw today, which is pretty powerful. And just so I can finish that statement before I jump on this other point, is that it is a noble stand. It's what defines America. It is what, where they finally have taken a life's passion, a life's work, and they've drawn that line as great as anybody has so far. And we've had, you've heard me talk about all of the great efforts of people that go unnoticed. And ironically, this big operation is hardly being noticed in the media. Okay? And here they are taking a stand. So we need to make sure we stand behind them, as we need to stand behind the Freedom Flyers. As you heard from, we heard from that earlier in the week. So there's a lot of great things happening, and we need to continue to stand strong together. Remember, this is a really big movement. It just doesn't look that way thanks to a corrupt and tyrannical, worthless, I could go on with enough adjectives, I'd probably keep you here till tomorrow, describing the scum that's our media. Our media is absolutely scum. And like I keep saying, is that these sorts of stories are not about hopium, they're about reality. And that's where we need to be. They are here now. They're taking action. They realize the depth of this fight and what it's going to take to win this fight. And we are going to win this because we have the numbers. One couple last things. Today, a really great story out of Seattle. The police officers that were released. I'd heard two stories, police and firemen, so I'm really not sure which one, either one, so I don't want to miss anybody. But anyway, at least some of the first responders that were released today in Seattle from because they wouldn't take the jab went out and fed the homeless. That's what we're talking about right there, in putting the priority back on the community where it needs to be. And that's another great example of our first responders once again taking the lead in our community. So hat tip to all that. It's kind of a final statement here tonight with all this separation that we have with the vax. The beautiful thing about this story tonight is that you heard that love of Christ and that love of God and everything they're doing, and it is there. And we need to keep that energy going because we keep God before us in all things. We have an obligation, and we really do, as we pray and we see the many coming across to bring people into that love of Christ. Whatever reason that they're leaving the matrix and walking away from this tyranny, God bless them, and let's embrace them, and let's pray for them, and let's bring them into that love of Christ. And that's the next part and the next big chapter we face. We have to bring that education that we have of what's for those that are coming across that are injected and have taken this bioweapon. We have to use our knowledge and our collective knowledge to inform so that they can do the things through this winter to keep their immune system strong. And we have to innovate, which means the various levels that we can use natural remedies and we can innovate and learn how to correct this damage has to be our next step, because we're about bringing us together. God's children have to reunite, and we can do it, but it's going to be under that throne, and it's going to be under our love for Him, and it's going to be under the sacrifices that were made for us and our eyes on the cross, and we can do that. So stay strong, keep focused. It's going to be a amazing, tough, beautiful, rough climb, all those things, right? So you're going to get your knees a little scraped up too climbing that mountain. It's all right. I got some good boots on right now too. Great boots, super comfortable. And we're going to keep those going too as we climb this mountain together. So Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. Our prayers bind us. Our prayers strengthen us. Our prayers connect us to God. And God is with us. He'll never forsake us. We can never doubt Him. We need to walk this path with absolute trust and love in our Lord, and putting our trust and our love in our Lord Christ Jesus. We are going to win this thing. God is going to win this thing, and God is working through us in the most amazing way. He's putting us through this with the trust in us that we will stand, that we will not bend, that we will be unwavering. We will hold the line to occupy the land and expand the kingdom. And through us, he is fighting this fight, and we are seeing the victories beginning to take shape. So I'll see you tonight for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, thank you, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.